Hello, hello, kids. It's me back after a long break. Today, we are going to listen to one of my favoritest authors. No marks for guessing that. It is Ruskin Bond, of course. And the story I'm going to read today is called The Boy Who Broke the Bank from The Room of Many Colors. Nathu grumbled to himself as he swept the steps of the People Nagar Bank, owned by Seth Govindram. He used the small broom hurriedly and carelessly, and the dust, after rising in a cloud above his head, settled down again on the steps. As Nathu was banging his pan against a dustbin, Sitaram, the washerman's son, passed by. Sitaram was on his delivery round. He had a bundle of freshly pressed clothes balanced on his head. "Are, don't raise such dust," he called out to Nathu. "Are you annoyed because they are still refusing to pay you an extra 2 rupees a month?"
"I don't wish to talk about it," complained the sweeper boy. "I haven't even received my regular pay, and this is the 20th of the month. Who would think a bank would hold up a poor man's salary? As soon as I get my money, I'm off. Not another week do I work in this place." And Nathu banged the pan against the dustbin several times, just to emphasize his point and give himself confidence.
"Well, I wish you luck," said Sitaram. "I'll keep a lookout for any jobs that might suit you."
And he plodded barefoot along the road, the big bundle of clothes hiding most of his head and shoulders. At the fourth home he visited, Sitaram heard the lady of the house mention that she was in need of a sweeper. Tying his bundle together, he said, "I know of a sweeper boy who's looking for work. He can start from next month. He's with the bank just now, but they aren't giving him his pay and he wants to leave."
"Is that so?" said Mrs. Srivastav. "Well, tell him to come and see me tomorrow."
And Sitaram, glad that he had been of service to both a customer and his friend, hoisted his bag on his shoulders and went his way. Sitaram is the... Sitaram was on his day, the washerman's son, you know, the dhobi, wash the clothes and go to everybody's house to give the clothes. Mrs. Srivastav had to do some shopping. She gave instructions to the ayah about looking after the baby and told the cook not to be late with the midday meal. Then she set out for the People Nagar marketplace to make her customary tour of the cloth shops. A large shady tamarind tree grew at one end of the bazaar, and it was here that Mrs. Srivastava found her friend Mrs. Bhushan, sheltering from the heat. Mrs. Bhushan was fanning herself with a large handkerchief. She complained of the summer, which she affirmed was definitely the hottest in the history of People Nagar. She then showed Mrs. Srivastava a sample of the cloth she was going to buy, and for 5 minutes they discussed its shade, texture and design. Having exhausted this topic, Mrs. Srivastava said, "Do you know, my dear, that Seth Govindram's bank can't even pay its employees? Only this morning I heard a complaint from their sweeper, who hasn't even received his wages for a month."
"Shocking," remarked Mrs. Bhushan. "If they can't pay the sweeper, they must be in a bad way. None of the others could be getting paid either."
She left Mrs. Srivastava at the tamarind tree and went in search of her husband, who was sitting in front of Kamal Kishore's photographic shop, talking to the owner. Kamal Kishore is the guy who owns the photography shop.
"So there you are," cried Mrs. Bhushan. "I've been looking for you for almost an hour. Where did you disappear?"
"Nowhere," replied Mr. Bhushan. "Had you remained stationary in one shop, I might have found you. But you go from one shop to another like a bee in a garden."
"Hmm.
Don't start grumbling. The heat is trying enough. I don't know what's going to happen to people, Nagar. Even the banks are about to go bankrupt.
What's that? Said Kamal Kishore, sitting up suddenly. Which bank?
Why, the People Nagar Bank, of course. I hear they have stopped paying employees. Don't tell me you have an account there, Mr. Kishore.
No, but my neighbor has,
he exclaimed, and he called out over the low partition to the keeper of the barber shop next door.
Deepchand! Deepchand! Have you heard the latest? The People Nagar Bank is about to collapse. You'd better get your money out as soon as you can.
Deepchand, who was cutting the hair of an elderly gentleman, was so startled that his hand shook and he nicked his customer's right ear. The customer yelped in pain and distress. Pain because of the cut and distress because of the awful news he had just heard. With one side of his neck still unshaven, he sped across the road to the general merchant's store where there was a telephone. He dialed Seth Govindram's number. The Seth was not at home. Where was he then?
The Seth was holidaying in Kashmir.
Ah, holidaying in Kashmir. The elderly gentleman did not believe it. He hurried back to the barber shop and told Deepchand, "The bird has flown. Seth Govindram has left town. Definitely it means a collapse." And then he dashed out of the shop, making a beeline for his office and checkbook. The news spread through the bazaar with the rapidity of a forest fire. This is what is known as Chinese whispers, isn't it, Anika? One person says to another person, says to another person. The next thing you know, it's become completely mad. At the general merchants, it circulated amongst the customers and then spread with them in various directions to the beetle seller, the tailor, the free vendor, the jeweller, even the beggar sitting on the pavement. Old Ganpat, the beggar, had a crooked leg. He had been squatting on the pavement for years, calling for alms. In the evening, someone would come with a barrow and take him away. He had never known how to walk. But now, on learning that the bank was about to collapse, Ganpat astonished everyone by leaping to his feet and actually running at top speed to the direction of the bank. It soon became known that he had 1,000 rupees in savings. So he'd been lying, eh? Men stood in groups at street corners discussing the situation. People Nagar seldom had a crisis, seldom or never had floods, earthquakes or drought, and the imminent crash of the People Nagar Bank set everyone talking and speculating and rushing about in a frenzy. Some boasted of their far-sightedness, congratulating themselves on having already taken out their money or on never having put their money in. Others speculated on the reasons for the crash, putting it all down to the excesses indulged by Seth Govindram.
It's really not such a big deal.
The Seth had fled the state, said one. He had fled the country, said another. He was hiding in People Nagar, said a third. He had hung himself from the tamarind tree, said a fourth. And he had been found in the morning by the sweeper boy. By noon, the small bank had gone through all through its ready cash and the harassed manager was in a dilemma. Emergency funds could only be obtained from another bank some 30 miles away, and he wasn't sure he could persuade the crowd to wait until then. And there was no way of contacting Seth Govindram on his houseboat in Kashmir. People were turned back from the counters and told to return the following day. They did not like the sound of that, and so they gathered outside on the steps of the bank, shouting, "Give us our money or we'll break in!" And "Fetch the Seth, we know he's hiding in a safe deposit locker." Mischief makers, who didn't even have one paisa in the bank, joined the crowd and aggravated the mood. The manager stood at the door and tried to placate them. He declared that the bank had plenty of money, but no immediate means of collecting it. He urged them to go home and come back the next day, please.
We want it now! We want it now! 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 Now!
And a brick hurtled through the air and crashed through the plate glass window of the People Nagar Bank. Nathu arrived next morning to sweep the steps of the bank. He saw the refuse and the broken glass and the stones cluttering the steps. Raising his hands in a gesture of horror and disgust, he cried, "Hooligans! Sons of donkeys! And though it isn't bad enough to be paid late, it seems my work also has to be increased now." He smote the steps with his broom, scattering the refuse.
"Good morning, Nathu,"
said the washerman's boy, getting down from his bicycle. "Are you ready to take up a new job from the first of this month? You'll have to, I suppose, now that the bank is going out of business."
"How's that?"
asked Nathu.
"Huh? Haven't you heard? Well, you'd better wait here until half the population of People Nagar arrives to claim their money."
And he waved cheerfully. He did not have a bank account and sped away on his cycle. Nathu went back to sweeping the steps, muttering to himself. When he had finished his work, he sat down on the highest step to await the arrival of the manager. He was determined to get his pay. "Who would have thought the bank would collapse?" he said to himself, and looked thoughtfully into the distance. "I wonder how it could have happened." And that's the end of the story. Isn't that incredible? Just one simple statement that he made, that, "Oh, look, I haven't been paid on time," went to the ears of somebody else, went to the ears of someone else, and suddenly they all decided that the bank had gone bankrupt. But that wasn't the case. So, the lesson is, always...
What actually happened is...
Nothing happened! It's just that the bank had not been very nice and they hadn't paid Nathu on time. But that didn't mean that the bank had gone out of business. It's just that people were guessing and speculating. Speculating is when you don't...
They did pay him, but late.
Yeah, but we don't know when. It looks like he hadn't been paid for a while. But the fact of the matter is, you should never guess and speculate. You need to know for a fact. That's quite irresponsible. So, whenever you...
It's actually, I think, the person who was going to start the new job for a month's fault.
Yeah, I mean...
She just spread the word.
Yeah, but then they kept spreading it and the next person spread it and the next person. So, we've got to be responsible when we talk. We shouldn't say, "Oh, by the way, you know, this person said that." "Oh, did they?" And then they'll go and tell someone else.
Maybe
don't spread rumors. What's happening?
Don't spread
any secrets unless you know
family.
Yeah, family or friends or anyone. Unless you know for a fact, do not comment on it. And on that note, on that wonderful message, because in the world we live in, kids, this is a lesson to be learned. There's way too much rumor mongering going on, fake news that people don't really know but still spread. So until you know something for a fact, please, let's not believe it and let's not share it. Let's be responsible citizens of the world. On that note, I'd like to wish you all good night, sleep tight, and don't let the rumor bites. Bugs bite. Bites bug. Bugs bite. Good night.